view of Barry McMaster. He has an exceptionally fantastic business called Matrix Vision. Barry has numerous clients. I was looking through your profile, Barry, and it's amazing. KPMG, Queensland Health, Unilin, QBE, ACP Magazines, the Attorney General's Department. You've worked throughout the world, such as Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Vietnam, New Zealand and the US. You've actually even done work for NAB, ASIC, Coca-Cola, Royal Bank of Scotland, and the list is endless. On behalf of 90.5 and People and Jeffro and myself, a very warm welcome to our show this afternoon.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's great pleasure to be here.
Barry, I know your involvement in the wider community with the Chamber of Commerce and so many other things, and our lives actually touch in so many similar areas, and it's just fantastic you could spare some time in your busy schedule to make yourself available. Barry, where did you grow up?
Jim, I grew up in Seven Hills, not very far from here. My mum still lives there. She lives just off Best Road at the opposite the RSL Club.
Fantastic.
And that's where I grew up. And I went to Blacktown Boys High, so I was educated in that area.
Your mum still lives there?
Yeah, she'll be 91 in about 3 weeks' time.
Well, I was going to ask you, with respect, I kind of know how old you are, but that must be amazing for someone over 90 years of age, still living in this world today so fast, to backtrack 90 years when you have a look at what the world was like 90 years ago. Incredible.
Yeah. It's phenomenal to think that somebody can be around for that long, you know.
And still function.
And still function well, and she lives alone in the house that Dad built back in the 50s. She's doing exceptionally well.
Very important, your parents to you?
Yeah. Dad's gone now. Dad died about 5 years ago.
Yes.
But, they instilled a lot of the man that I am today.
Isn't that wonderful? We often hear in our dialogue with people about the importance of family, and particularly mum and or dad. I mean, there's lots of tragedy and the inquiries going on at the moment, and a whole range of things where adults play not the role that we talk about. But, gee, it's lovely when you hear what role models parents and other people do play in people's lives. So they're great. So thanks for sharing that. After you finished school, what happened then?
Oh, Jim, I went to university as a full-time student on a teacher's college scholarship. I was destined. I was going to be an English and history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when I failed history 2 years in a row, the teachers, the school department suggested that I reconsider my career options. So I went out to work and finally returned to university about 5 years later as a part-time student after I got married and completed a degree in psychology.
And I think it was at Macquarie Uni.
Macquarie.
Yes.
Yeah, I was at Macquarie back in the days, Jim, where I know you've been out there and you know the place, and there are huge trees out there now.
Yes.
When I was there, they were saplings, and we were always told, don't lean on the saplings because they're going to grow.
And it's incredible. As I say, our journeys start to merge further and further closer. I remember back in the mid-70s when Macquarie was regarded as, I wouldn't say third rate, but if you didn't go to Sydney or New South Wales, you kind of fell into Macquarie and was quite interesting. But you're right, all those small trees now are massive big trees some 30-odd years later to see that. Psychology, you like psychology?
I was looking for another thing to focus on. And, you know, English and history, I'd failed history. I continued on with English, though, and I still, that's one of the only subjects I didn't fail when I was at university is English. And
well, can I tell you why I was going to say I didn't think you failed English? Because the things that you write are so articulate. It's really interesting. I mean, you have such a skill and you're intelligent and a professional and all of those things, but you have such a great skill in writing. So it does not surprise me that that's a forefront for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it. I write a newsletter. I used to get them out monthly, and now they're coming out sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm intending to write them a lot more frequently.
You've worked in a lot of very large organisations where teamwork plays an important role. And I was very impressed with a quote that you've used. And if I can share this with our listeners, because I do want to ask a couple of questions of you in a moment. Teamwork is neither good nor desirable. It is simply a fact. Wherever people work together or play together, they do so as a team. Which team to use for what purpose is crucial. Difficult and a risky decision that is even harder to unmake. Management has yet to learn how to make it. I thought that was really interesting because that's a segue into your thinking, because you have been in the whole role of management and the theories in this, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s, and you're saying there's this new paradigm, this new thinking with regards to leadership. So I'd really like to talk about that later on during our interview. How do you view, or has your view of leadership changed over those times?
Yeah, I guess it has. And I think that it's been influenced by the way in which certain leaders have gone around. You know, we can look at HIH in Australia. We can look at Enron in the USA. Even one of my old companies, James Hardy, has shown that leadership has failed some way. And the area that it seems to have failed is in character. The leaders have lacked the character to move forward. And this seems to be the biggest trend in terms of looking at leaders today. It's no longer just important to have leaders that can do the job, that are MBAs. They've got to have the kind of character. They've got to have integrity. They've got to have honesty.
Well, I was going to ask you, when we talk about a person has character or doesn't have character, and in a management definition, what are those attributes that you believe are critical in 2013 in terms of that person's got character and leadership?
The kinds of things that I look at in terms of character is, one, this honesty and integrity, and they say and do the same thing. They walk the talk. They tend to think about others in the way in which they do things and the impact that they have on others. But it's more the inbuilt of knowing when to do the right thing. And sometimes it's about courage too. It's courage to do things that maybe not what they'd like to do, or not what their shareholders are saying that they should do, but is the right thing to do.
A very wise person said a great statement to me, and it sat with me for the rest of my life. And it was about 30 years ago he said this. And he said, there are only two ways you can do something, son. The right way or the wrong way.
Yeah.
And just his tone and the way he said it has resonated with me all the time. And I guess, are you really talking about that in the sense of leadership?
That's it. That's the difference, I think. You know, typically we've had leaders and we've measured them on their results. We said, you know, leaders are there to achieve results. It didn't matter how they went about achieving those results. We didn't care as long as they got the results. And I'm talking now about 15, 20 years ago.
Yes.
Now we're saying, hey, results are important, but engaged people are equally important. And you can't walk over broken bodies in order to achieve results. You've got to think about engaging the people to come along on the journey with you.
I remember when I left teaching and in the 80s, if I to just reflect upon the 80s, it appeared to me that it was a period where it was results orientated. It didn't matter if people got hurt in that process. You scored the try, or you made the sale, or you did those things, irrespective of the consequences associated with it.
Yep.
And you're right. That model is not appropriate today. I guess that's what you're really saying.
That's it, Jim. Yeah. You know, when I first worked with the last organisation I worked with, they actually established fiefdoms, so that the state manager in a particular state was really the king of that particular state. They actually gave an award for the state manager that could encroach the best upon other states' territories. Now, that to me was quite a crazy thing to do.
Mm.
And it was losing sight of the fact that it's not results, it's about working effectively together. That's a key to business success.
You're on 90.5 on People, and it's 27 minutes past two, and I'm speaking with Barry McMasters from Matrix Vision, who is an expert in the whole area of leadership and the whole area of team building. When we talk about trust, is that critical in our lives and leadership in particular?
It's become more important. Trust, you need to trust the people that you work with. And it goes beyond leadership. It goes to the team members that you work with. And you need to look at ways and you can build that trust between people. Trust is an important thing because once trust is lost, it's very difficult to regain.
It is. There's a saying that says it's not... It goes along these lines that we say people will forget what you said, mm-hmm. people will forget what you even did for you, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think that's really important in leadership because you mentioned something very important and I didn't want to gloss over it, but you're saying that part of leadership is maybe seen as being humble and having humility, and you're saying, they're strengths.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. We often used to say that a leader has got to be almost infallible, like a pope, that you cannot admit that you're wrong. You've got to appear to be completely immovable. Whereas what's starting to happen now is that we find that if a leader can admit that they've made a mistake, if a leader can do a bit of self-disclosure to the people that they lead, people will follow them even more strongly. It's a strange paradox of the way in which we used to see leadership compared to the way in which it operates now.
It's right on 2:30. You're on People on 90.5, the Voice of the West. We might just go to a quick break. I'm here with Barry McMasters, who is an expert in people involvement and people handling and leadership and team building. We've been talking just about leadership and the significance of leadership, and you're saying, Barry, that courage plays a really important role in leadership. What do you mean by that, and what does the literature say?
Courage, and to me, I said earlier that it's about having the courage to do the right thing, having the courage to do what's right. But it also involves having the courage to look at when things go wrong and being able to face up to it, and particularly with people issues. Rather than allowing people to fail, it's having the courage to give them the feedback to help them move forward and to help them improve.
And that's a really important skill, isn't it? That being able to give people feedback, that must play a critical role in the whole area of leadership.
Feedback's very important. Somebody said feedback's the breakfast of champions. But, yeah, feedback is important because many times we don't know that we're failing. We don't know we're doing things that are causing us to fail. And therefore we require the people who can see it to let us know so we can do something about it.
So does communication become critical in leadership? Is that a critical attribute or concept?
Communication is very important. Communication is important in interpersonal relations. We know that. But communication and leadership, there's two common complaints in organisation. One, nobody ever told me. And two, nobody ever asked me. Mm. And we want our leaders to be able to handle those two elements of communication in a way that is respectful and in a way... We like to be told the truth, but without being offended by the way in which we're told the truth.
And that's a real skill, isn't it?
Mm.
And are those the things that you teach your organisations and groups?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. They're the kinds of things that I work with people, I work with leaders, I work with teams to help them being able to do that.
That must be an incredible experience and incredible outcomes for you when you see the joy that you're able to teach those people those critical things.
Jim, I guess it's a passion in my life. I've been involved in learning and development now for about 30 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that.
we won't tell our listeners.
And I really enjoy watching people develop. And when I know that it's something that I've done that's helped them, That's just terrific, and that that drives me. That's my motivation.
That's fantastic. You say you're involved in team building, and I really want to talk about that because it's critical. I was training a football side last night, and team building, how important. They start their competition this week, and I wish all the teams in their sports the very best for the start of their competition. How do you go
Sydney
about
Swans
that?
Play at home this weekend.
Ah, well, are you a Sydney Swans?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Aha. Well, you'll have to get you back and talk to us about that. Well, they've been a great success story too.
Yes,
in the midst of turmoil, coming to Sydney, moving, being uprooted from the Melbourne environment, the home of AFL, to here, and look at the success story they've done. So, obviously, team building and a whole range of leadership has taken its primary role there, no doubt. How do you go about team building?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim, because...
Sorry, Jeff, did you hear what Barry just said? That was a good question.
Team building.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll say it again, Jeff.
No, I just have to remind them that, you know, my good questions. No, on a serious note, yeah. How do you go about it?
Well... I'm probably different from people that say they operate in the team building space.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that team building is all about one element of what I regard as team building, and that's about relationships. So what people do is that they think that the best thing to do in terms of building a team is have more social gatherings, to go whitewater rafting together, to have a group hug, maybe have trust falls, all the kinds of things that...
And Barry, that's very true, Jeff. You know, they say, right, we've got a bond, so we'll take them out and throw them off a cliff, or we'll throw them in here, or do that. And I'm not denigrating that. What I am saying, that's really interesting, because that seems to be a focus amongst team building exercises.
Yeah, and to me, that takes one component of what team building is all about. That's the relationship element. For me, I work on four elements. The first one is about goals, and it's about does the team know and understand and have commitment to its goals? Is there a universal understanding of what the team is there for?
I reckon that's a big job in itself too, isn't it?
It is, because not only have you got to know what you're aiming for, but you've also got to know how are you going to measure it? What are the standards of performance? What are the indicators that you're going to use? So I work with teams to help them come to that conclusion. And often it involves looking back over how you've gone over the last year and helping with try to decide what you're going to do in future. But goals is one thing. The next thing is roles. And roles is who's going to do what in the team. And we need to know and clearly understand who's going to do which role. We need to have role clarity. We need to have role commitment. And also we need to have role competence. So we need to have the right people in the job to do that kind of thing. And that's a really important thing. And I get teams to work that out together. You don't just rely on a leader to do that, but the team works it out together. The next thing is the processes that the team uses. How does the team work together? What are the team norms, for instance? That's one of the things. What's acceptable behavior and what's unacceptable behavior in the team? How do we make decisions as a team? What are the things that we need to do? How frequently should we meet? How frequently should we get together? What should we do when we meet? And those three things, the goals, the roles, and the processes, I work on with a team before I start with relationships. And relationships are about how do we get along as team members. And you know, I've got a strange view, perhaps, in that you don't have to like the people that you're working with, but you've got to get along with them. And that's what it's all about. And for me, teamwork is about agreements. It's about getting people to form those agreements and then work to those agreements as a team. It doesn't mean if you've got to wander around in packs. They actually form the agreements, then they go out and do them. Then they come back together every now and then and assess how those agreements are going based upon reality.
That's an excellent overview. I was just thinking while you were talking, Barry, looking at particularly sporting groups where there is success, how they fulfill those roles. They're very clearly defined. There is role expectations, role definement, clarity, and so on. It's spot on. And if we flip that up on its head and look at the disengagement of leadership and team building, it's all those negatives associated with what you're just talking about. So you're able to help people through that process over, what, a day, 2 days course?
Generally, the way in which I approach it is that that I'll run anything from 1 day to a 2 day workshop on team skills. And team skills are predominantly sort of helping with the decision making, looking at a process that I call critique. And critique is about, can we face up to reality? Can we give feedback to each other to keep us on track? And then work at how do we share the leadership? How do we work together more effectively where we can all have some impact, input into the leadership? Then I would work. That can be anybody in the organisation. In fact, I like mixes of people in that. The next thing I do is I work with a team, an intact team. And you know, many organisations have got different teams. And it's there that I help them form the agreements about the goals, the roles, the processes. And we also explore relationships. And I typically do that by using something like the DISC profiles or Myers-Briggs type indicators to look at why my personality preference is different from yours and how does that impact on the team and how can we use that knowledge and understanding to work more effectively together.
Barry, we've run out of time, unfortunately. It's about 18 minutes to 3, and I'm absolutely delighted you've been able to spend some time. Can people look up? Do you have a website that you might be able to just share? Because we'll put you on Facebook, and if that's with your permission.
Yes,
indeed. And people can find out a little bit more. I think it's www.matrixvision.com.au.
That's it.
And it's been an absolute delight to have you tell us a lot, and you've really been absolutely fantastic with regards to looking at a deeper level of leadership and team building. One final question before you go. You're to have dinner tonight with three people. Who would you like to have dinner with?
Well, Jim, I think my wife's got to be there.
Jeff, he's very good, isn't he? Very good. No, I can see team building. I can see that.
She's a great cook.
Great.
I'd also like to have dinner with one of my old bosses, Bob Ansett. Bob is a fascinating man. He's probably the best leader I ever worked with.
Fantastic.
And if Nelson Mandela is still around in time for this dinner, I wouldn't mind him sitting in on it as well.
Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Barry McMasters, thank you so much for joining us on People on 90.5, The Voice of the West. That was really interesting, Jeff.
It certainly was.
Just to look a little bit more about leadership and some of the finer and refined qualities that Barry spoke about. It's around about 17 minutes to 3, and I'm going to throw it over to you for a song. And what do you think?
Well, we don't have Ben Lee, but how about Uncle Cracker with Smile.